Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Well, thanks again for listening here today on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. And what a pleasure to wrap up our show with a special topic and with an in-studio guest instead of over the phone. Joy Golliver, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Zara.
Well, and folks should know as well, you hear this introduction, she's no rookie to the media, so I'm actually going to be taking notes myself and learning from one of the masters. Joy introduces herself as an involuntary expert, starting her first business at age 50 and now into business number 3, which offers special programs for elder care caregivers and the boomer sandwich generation. A native of Indiana, like myself, Joy started her career as a secretary and supported her husband's career into being a professional lawyer, raising their 3 children and becoming a professional volunteer, as she says, all the way to becoming a senior leadership and board level positions at the Girl Scout Association, a crisis and community resource center, the United Way, and YWCA. Caring for the homeless actually is a particular passion of Joy's. Her first book is called Ignite the Community Spirit, 300 Creative Ideas for Community Involvement. Joy's first book was Ignite the Community Spirit, 300 Creative Ideas for Community Involvement, an idea born out of supporting her husband's chairmanship at the time of the Pacific Coast Gas Association to inspire those in the business circle and also accelerate that through their associated travels together as a couple. This first book opened the career frontier of being a professional keynote speaker then since 1985 and a member of the National Speakers Association and Toastmasters International. In no way, as I mentioned earlier, is she a media rookie either, having been on television and hosting radio segments. It was her husband's diagnosis with Alzheimer's, although, in 2001, that led to yet another career shift into caregiving, and now sharing her life wisdom through 2 pieces, Self-Care for Caregivers, 161 Tips to Make Your Life Easier, and the new Tips and Tools for the Second Half of Life. Her mantra is, the meaning of life is finding your gift. The purpose of life is giving it away. And those of you who are web streaming, you might want to go and look up right now, www.touchedbyjoy.com, and enjoy our conversation today with Joy about caring for people who care for others, and that key is to put yourself first, right?
That's right.
Well, you live that because you've experienced yourself over the years.
Yes, I've put myself first, but it's very difficult to do when you are dealing with a chronic illness. Mm-hmm. That's why I call myself an involuntary volunteer, because I had 10 years of experience with caregiving from, well, right through the 4 stages. I call the first stage self-care, because at the very beginning, you both are taking care of yourself after you've heard this dire news. Mm-hmm. So I am an involuntary expert.
In that regard. Well, why did you start a business around being a caregiver? What drove you in that direction, do you feel?
I really didn't want to start a business around that topic, and definitely not about around Alzheimer's. I actually had hoped to get back to the Ignite the Community Spirit business. But God had other plans, and I was at a women's retreat in California, and I was told everyone my life was on hold. I didn't want any more responsibility. I was in the crisis of my life, but God spoke to me very clearly. I have moved you to Arizona for a reason, and I have given you this challenge for a reason, and you are to do something with it. And I actually fought that for about a year. I also didn't have time to deal with mm-hmm. any thoughts like that. But I kept journaling and doing tips for myself that I had been doing for 10 years, putting them down, practicing them. And lo and behold, one day on a big crisis day of my life, all of that poured out of my journal on paper, and it became the tips booklet.
Is that right? Well, share with our readers then the makeup of this tip booklet. So these are kind of self-encouraging words, but then you suddenly saw the threads across them.
Yes, because I had gone to support groups right at the beginning in Seattle where we were living at the time of the diagnosis. And the first group I went to said, here's a book you will need. Now, this was just like 2 or 3 weeks after we found out that he had Alzheimer's. And they handed me a book called The 36-Hour Day. And I said in my naivety, there aren't 36 hours in the day. And they said, well, this is what your life is going to be like from now on. Mm-hmm. And I left that meeting very discouraged. But I did go back in a few weeks to a second one with that group. And that time they told me that I should go to my doctor and get a prescription for Valium or something. And I left saying, there's got to be a better way. I refuse to let any chronic illness take two of us down.
Yeah.
And so I started creating for myself tips and tools that would make my life easier. Actually, the very first one that I created was my husband's appointments were only every 6 months. And I was supposed to record everything that happened in that 6 months mm-hmm. that the doctor might need to know. And report it to him at that meeting. Well, number one, I couldn't remember that much, so I started a journal, which I called the medical journal, and I would write down things that did happen, like I found the ice cream in the cupboard. Mm-hmm. And then when we got ready for the appointment, I started thinking to myself, well, I don't want to go into the meeting and dump all this stuff that my husband wouldn't even remember. Mm-hmm. So I looked through, and I found out what I felt was important for the doctor to know, and I created a doctor's letter, and I wrote down pertinent things that he should know in that appointment, and I also wrote down questions that I had. And so when we actually went to the appointment, the doctor had already received that via fax, and then I knew he was fully informed. And we could just talk about a few things. People have to remember, when I say self-care and being prepared, doctors today on your initial visit have a maximum of 30 minutes.
Yeah.
On future follow-ups, they have 15 minutes to listen to what you have to say. So you need to be really prepared and organized, even for yourself, self-care.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, this whole concept of self-care first, that's a real challenge. I mean, you're a mother. You raise three girls, you know, with your husband, or three children with your husband. You know, that whole popular statement when you get on airplanes that in the event of, you know, an emergency and the oxygen masks fall down, put yours on first before you do that for the younger or the elderly. I had that happen to me once with my children, and it was so hard to not instinctively first go to them. You know, and yet I realized, okay, all that, I've been on so many planes, I finally, you know, succumbed to that control from some other place in my mind and did put mine on first, and it's a good thing I did. It turns out it was not an emergency situation ultimately, but instinctively our thought is, as mothers or as parents, is to care first and foremost for those children, never realizing, of course, we might be debilitating ourselves, so we couldn't care for them in the next step.
Well, that's absolutely true, and particularly when I work with the elderly, my husband and I were married for 54 years, and I am now 76. And we were raised in the era where if you had a pie and cut it in pieces, and there was one piece that crumbled and fell apart or was smaller than the others, you would just say, oh, I'll eat that. Mm-hmm. And I think women today, hopefully they've learned, but I'm afraid they still do just give away little bits of their power. So when it comes to saying to yourself, I'm the most important person in this chronic illness, I have to take care of myself first, it's very difficult. But think of it this way. If you don't, and something happens to you, who is going to care for that person?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be you. Consequently, you must keep yourself healthy and whole and patient and kind and loving in order to actually give the best care to the other person.
So with that at the foundation of what you've done, you've obviously got your tips book in front of us. But what other kind of engagements do you have with people to help them along this journey, Joy?
Well, also in 2006, I moved to, my husband and I moved to Arizona, and we are in what is called a continuing care retirement community. And I've learned so much from the people there, experiencing all different areas of life and challenge and strength and wonderful abilities and still exercising at 90. And I've seen them mentor me, and I have mentored them with the help that I can offer them in their challenge. And so I see that all of us need to start very, very young, which I was not good at doing, taking really good care of ourselves. It starts with self-care, putting yourself first all through your life so that you're still eating well and you're exercising regularly. And as one of your speakers today said, you are learning to meditate and relax and deciding what's really important. All of that comes under self-care. And followed by that comes some preparations that we should all do regardless of our age.
And those being estate planning, long-term care, those types of things you need?
Yes, definitely those types of things. But something as simple as we just had the firemen come out to our facility and remind us that every person, every family needs to have on the refrigerator that file of life with all of your pertinent information stuck right there in case a challenge or an emergency run comes up. So we need to look at all the little ways that we can prepare for any challenge. And then, of course, we hope they'll never happen.
Exactly. That's right.
And if it never happens, well, that's great. But if it does, you don't have to stop and think, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do now? How can I go to work because my parent just called and I have to meet them at the hospital? There's all types of preparations going on there.
So some of those tips that would involve that kind of preparation, those are more in my peace of mind category. Right?
That's a wonderful way to put it.
So just knowing that they're there, maybe never have to exercise them, I've got those peace of mind set.
Yes, you've got the peace of mind, but you also realize that a crisis could hit your life at any time. It could be a small crisis. You're off jogging and you fall and injure your knee and you're laid up for 6 weeks. How would you handle that? If you thought ahead, you already know how you might handle that. Or a child gets sick. Or a parent calls and now suddenly you're in the midst of your career raising young children. Your life is already horrendously full. And that parent now needs your support because they are in crisis. And you're one of the children that are going to have to help out.
You know, I have to believe, Joy, some of the biggest challenges, at least I know my husband and I feel it, and those of us that are still so blessed with all four parents active and age in their 80s, though, is that we don't live in the same community as any of them. And so some of your tips and ideas are people that you've coached, workshops that you've held to help individuals deal with this dynamic of distance between loved ones and also the multiple sibling dynamic. Some of your thoughts on those areas.
That becomes very difficult, but there again, it's best if you talk about it in advance. And sometimes you will find that your parents don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean the siblings can't begin to get together and discuss it. Mom and dad are getting older. What if something happens to them? Then you'll say, well, someone should talk to them. Well, they don't want us to bring it up. So you, as a family of siblings, have a plan. Who would go first? Who's free to go first? If you're all living out of town, you better have some resources in the city where they're living. And so one of my work with the people that I work with now in Tucson and other states is who is going to be your advocate?
Right.
Who will come when you end up in the emergency room, maybe even in a coma, when your children live in New York and it's going to take them 3 days to get here? Who is that interim person? There's some wonderful organizations in Tucson and going nationwide that will begin to fill that role.
So a lot of your work right now is with individuals on the older end of spectrum and helping them understand what they really need to gift through their children.
Yes, but I'm aiming into the boomer and sandwich generation, whatever names we put on it, because what I'm seeing is that the lives of the elderly affect the boomers. The boomers also feel that they are never going to grow old and have the same illnesses because they've taken better care of themselves. And you have. You are out jogging more and eating well, but that doesn't mean that life will be that easy. So you just don't want to dwell on it, of course, but think in the positive. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to have a plan in case that happens. I'm going to have a plan so that if I'm an entrepreneur business person and I'm the only one there, what would I do if?
Yeah, what's the succession planning for my business, in fact? That's a very, very important point. The other side of then equipping your younger children, and I don't know what young means by that. Is it children in their teens or their 20s in these conversations for those of us that are in the boomer side of it? What's been your advice in terms of involving the broader family conversation?
If the siblings are in, of course, the 20s and up, that is one issue. If they're younger than that, they still totally recognize when they see their grandparents mm-hmm. that something's going on.
The other skip generation, yeah.
And my grandchildren did. You have to be careful with that age because different personalities will accept it in different ways. I had grandchildren who found it very difficult to visit after he was in a memory support unit. And so we talked about that, and instead I gave them wonderful things to do when we went to visit. Like one year we took the Easter eggs and hard-boiled them at home, and then we took them over and we all sat in an activity room and decorated the Easter eggs as a family, and he could be present, and that kept them busy. Another grandchild was extremely comfortable at sitting by his bedside, even on the very last days. And unfortunately, another set of grandchildren never actually came down to be with him. So then after the fact, we all had to, again, approach those children and talk to them. And there's some wonderful books. There's wonderful ways to discuss that. There's great ways to find the gifts and the experience and celebrate that and have fun even in the midst of challenge.
Yeah. And I, you know, this is one of the misgivings or the difficulties of radio, of course. Joy, when you just shared that statement for our listeners, she was looking up to heaven almost with this sparkle in your eye, in this smile and this calmness to communicate that this is really the subject matter of your business, your work, your passion now is really about the continuation of life, even though life as we know it wouldn't be here with us on this earth, so to speak. I mean, there's another progression, which, by the way, in our culture, as compared to, for example, Eastern cultures, this is still something we wrestle with, isn't it?
Yes, we do, but I don't want people to think that when you meet a challenge, because my husband and I have met challenges all through our lives, met them, grew from them, and moved on. And it's happened over and over and over. And so in this challenge, it was my most difficult because with an illness like Alzheimer's, at the very first thing you read, it's incurable. It's terminal. And I wanted to change that. Mm-hmm. I'm a person of positive change, but for the first time, I met something that I could not change. So I looked for the positive in it. With this growth of this work now, it really excites me to show people there is a better way of doing things. There's gifts you can look for. You have to laugh and release that. But I learned patience, number one. I was not a patient person. My husband and I actually drew much closer together in our communication. The family did as well, as we all supported each other. So there are wonderful gifts in the experience.
Well, even the fact that you've continued your own writing career from that community service focus to capitalize on that, your speaking skills and so on, to now shift and be an agent of understanding for others now in this same space.
Yes, I'm quite excited about my new career.
Yeah, that's right. Don't you love that? And did you hear, folks, that Joy Golliver, 76, she's got a website that some people would die for with YouTube videos up on it and everything. So you're embracing the new technology in the process of getting this great word out.
Yes, I'm learning as I go along, and I have a wonderful administrative assistant
to help out. And for those listening, you can visit touchedbyjoy.com or joygolliver.com. Now, your new books that are coming out, they can access those then from your website?
Yes, you can purchase the Self-Care for Caregivers, 161 Tips. But you can also just register there and receive a free tip once a week.
Mm-hmm. the name 160, the number 161, that's just where you stopped when you started.
That's where I stopped, and there might be volume 2.
I wonder if there's magic in the number 161. And then the tips and tools for second half of life as well.
Yes, it's a booklet that I wrote with a collection of experts, which is great for families to use when you're starting the discussion.
Yeah, starting the discussion. So what's that dream in front of you now, Joy?
I want to be out speaking more and giving workshops and talks, and I would love for people to come to the website.
No, that's great. Again, it's touchedbyjoy.com as well. Her whole mantra, which is just a lovely one, that the meaning of life is finding your gift, and the purpose of your life is giving it away. Where was it in your phase of life that all came together for you? Has it been in the recent few years that kind of coalesced for you?
Each step led me toward more peace and growth and excitement.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, Joy, thanks a lot for joining us, and we'll look forward to keeping track. And for visitors, again, touch into that information by touchedbyjoy.com.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.